Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Sunday, and that means it's time for our Zen stream. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depth of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. All right, so first off, let me get the obvious out of the way. I have been off basically for a couple weeks. And to be honest, guys, I just really needed a little bit of a break. You know, it's happened before where I get to a point where I am putting out so much content that I really start to feel that it's getting a little watered down, or it's getting a little bit too repetitive, or it's getting a little bit too, like, I'm just not feeling the inspiration, which I think, in my opinion, is needed to really put out content that I feel proud of, that I feel is genuine, that I feel is helpful. And so when that happens, I have learned that I need to kind of hit the pause button for a little while. And invariably, after a little bit of time, I start to feel a little bit better. I start to feel a little more motivated. And then, like today, I read something in this. It's basically a Facebook group that I'm a member of, and a lot of it is based on, or all of it actually. It's a Eckhart Tolle based. You know, his teachings, it's a group based around his teachings. And, you know, as many of you know, as I've mentioned in many, many podcast episodes, I have, you know, I'm a fan of Eckhart Tolle. I love his work. I love his books. Highly recommend anyone to read, especially The Power of Now. It's an amazing book that had a big impact on me. So anyway, what I'm getting at here is that, you know, as I started to feel some of that inspiration, motivation coming back, I came across a post in that group, and it basically just sealed the deal. And I said, I have to talk about this. I have to do an episode on this. And what we're going to be talking about, and it is, I think, still very much in the vein of Zen stream, is we're going to be talking about thinking, okay? Thoughts, you could say, you know, obsessive thoughts, or the inability to stop thinking when we want to. And I think that there is this kind of implied, sometimes it's not implied, it's explicit, but there's definitely, at the very least, this implied idea, I think, in a lot of spiritual teachings, that our ideal state is to be without thought, right? That when you're a master, or you've, you know, meditated long enough, or you've realized enough things, that somehow you're going to get to this point where you stop thinking. And this is referred to quite a few times in The Power of Now, which I still think is a great book. And you know, a lot of times, as I've said here before, and it's such an important thing, I think, when you read spiritual teachings, when you listen to spiritual teachers, you know, you have to always keep in mind that language is infinitely interpretable in many different ways. You could have somebody tell you a story and tell it to 10 different other people, and they all get a different meaning out of it. They all emphasize different aspects of the story. They all kind of, and this reflects each individual mind's ability to how do I put it? File away, I guess, is a good way to put it, or how it filters. That's the word I was looking for. How it filters the story in a way that most aligns with our individual worldview, our individual experience, our individual beliefs, right? So, and I mean, this has been prevalent, this This tendency of human minds to do this has been prevalent since the beginning of time. And so you can see how through thousands and thousands of years, if you have teachings that are that old, you can run into issues. That's putting it mildly, right? You could run into issues, and you run into people, you know, taking teachings and, you know, completely twisting them in different ways and, you know, regurgitating them in ways that are not the way they were intended. And this could happen in very, very, very subtle ways. And so we always have to use care and caution, and we have to use a lot of awareness when we are listening to teachings, we are reading about teachings, or discussing teachings, is that we all have a mindset with which we receive these teachings, and that has to be taken into account, because it's you know, it really impacts the teaching itself. And we want, I want, me personally, to present things always in the way that is most helpful. And so when I read in the, I'll just tell you about my experience. When I first read The Power of Now, I was early 20s, something like that. So it's about 20 years ago, more or less. And I remember this idea came to my mind, and this is a perfect example of how the message from the book was interpreted through my own filters, totally out of my awareness. But the overall message, or one of the overall messages, it was more than one, but one of the overall messages I got from reading that book is that thinking is in a sense like our biggest impediment to achieving spiritual growth. And thinking, when you reach a certain point, right, you our solution is to just stop thinking, right? Enter the now as much as possible, and don't think, right? Turn off thinking. Now, this is nice, you know, and again, this was my interpretation. If I go back to that book and reread it right now, maybe that's not exactly what he said. So I want to be clear about that. But that was what entered my mind. And I see this same tendency appearing when I see other people ask questions about thinking, when I work with patients. As many of you know, I've been working in mental health for years. This question comes up often, you know, I can't stop my mind from bothering me about this. I can't stop thinking about this. You know, I get obsessive about these thoughts. And so I thought it was a good idea to talk about this subject and present, I guess, a little bit of a Zen perspective on thinking and really just my personal perspective on thinking and our relationship to our thinking. And let me just start out by saying this, okay? Hit you with a fact, okay? You will never stop thinking until you are dead, okay? Until your physical brain stops working, okay? Which happens in physical death. You will never stop thoughts entirely, okay? That's not going to happen. That's how our brain works. And if you are alive, you are breathing, and you are experiencing things, you are automatically, your brain is automatically generating thoughts. I recently read a quote. It was actually in the same Facebook group that I was just telling you about. And this is what gave the inspiration for this topic is, I don't remember, I'm sorry, I don't remember the who said this, but it's quoted in the post. They said, you know, that saying, I think, is a little bit of a misnomer, because we don't think with volition. It just automatically happens, right? You don't, sometimes you can direct your thoughts, right? You can choose to focus on certain things, but many times you're just going on about your day doing whatever, and thoughts just pop into your mind. And the quote went on to say that it's really more like digesting. Like you don't digest with volition, right? It just happens. Your body just does it, and your brain just thinks. That's what it does. Okay. And what troubles me a little bit about this, and this is the trap that I fell into years and years ago, is that when you set up this ideal of getting to a place where you are not thinking, right, as thoughts continue to appear, because that's what they do, you begin to feel a sort of internal conflict. You start to think to yourself, oh gosh, it's similar to when you hear people meditating, when they first start meditating. It's like, okay, clear my mind. clear my mind, just focus on my breath, just focus on my breath. I remember for years this happened to me where, you know, the early, you know, one of the first meditation practices I learned, which I've shared with you all a few times, is just counting breaths, right? And the teacher would say, you know, as you're counting your breaths, you're going to notice that you're going to start thinking, you're going to get distracted. You know, you're going to start thinking about yesterday, you're going to start thinking about tomorrow, you're going to start thinking about a conversation you had or one you're going to have, or you're going to start, it's just natural. And what you do at that point is you just, oh, you realize it. Okay, I'm thinking. And you come back to your breath. You start over back at one, right? And counting. And I remember for a long time, this was a source of, it's because of the way that I was doing it, not because of the way that it was taught, but it was a source of frustration for me because I would sit there in meditation and thoughts would come. And I'm using here meditation as an example, but this is all the time, right? Maybe you're trying to, you know, get to a point in your practice where you're not thinking, or you walk around with like a completely blank mind, and it's not realistic. Okay, maybe you could make the argument possibly that if you're able to go live on a mountaintop completely isolated and 100, you know, do 20 years of just silent meditation, yeah, maybe at that point you will experience, you know, something akin to no thinking. But for people like us who have a day-to-day life, you know, who has to deal with practical aspects of living, relationships, you know, jobs, financial stuff, health concerns, this idea of being completely thoughtless is just not realistic. Now, the good news is that once we realize that, we can approach this concern in a completely different way. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about in just a minute. Just let me pause here to allow a word from a sponsor and I'll be right back. All right, you all, thank you for your patience. I am back. I just want to take a quick moment here and remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me, ask a question, make a suggestion, express a concern, or if you have an idea for a podcast episode, feel free to email me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com. You could also find any one of my YouTube videos over on the YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp. Leave a comment under any one of them. I get a notification right away and can respond to you there in the comment section of the YouTube channel. Also, you could find me on Twitter. You could send me a direct message on Twitter and follow me while you're there because I do post things, you know, here and there, things that help me in my practice and that I think can serve as nice reminders to focus on your breath, focus on the present moment. So follow me on Twitter to get that good stuff. Finally, if you're enjoying this content and you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts, if you could take a moment and leave a nice rating and review, that would be very helpful. All right. So here we go. Where were we? We were talking about thoughts and this idea of stopping thoughts. And if our goal is not to stop our thoughts, right? In whether it's in meditation or in just our day-to-day life, then what is the goal? What is the relationship that I'm supposed to have with my own thoughts? Now, we all have a different type of relationship to our thoughts, right? The type of relationship each person has to their own thoughts, you know, varies, I would guess, from person to person. So you could imagine the endless variety of relationships that human beings can have to their own thoughts. Now, the way I see it is some people live, you know, if you picture like, you know, this spectrum, you know, we're on one end of the scale, you have people who live tormented by their thoughts, right? And on the other end of this spectrum, which is what we're going to be talking about a little more in depth here, is that you have individuals who are not all that affected by their thinking, right? And that is what we want to, no matter where you're starting on this spectrum, I think we can agree that getting to a point that's further, you know, to the latter end of the spectrum that I spoke about is ideal, right? We want to get to a point where we're able to have thoughts, the thoughts are able to come, right? But we find that they're not, and this is the key thing, this is one of the main points that I want to get across here. The thoughts come, but they do not have the ability to get such an emotional reaction out of you, okay? That's really the key thing, because think about it. Are thoughts really the problem? Thoughts in and of themselves are not problems. It's the emotional reaction that thoughts can create. That can be the issue. So, for example, you may have had this experience. Let's say I've had it. I'm sure all human beings have had it. Let's say that you have a relationship that recently ended, right? And you were really, really in love with this person, right? So every time you think about this person, every time you see something that reminds you of this person, every time you smell something that reminds you of this person, you have thoughts appear in your mind about this person. And emotionally, it's very, very, very powerful, right? You suddenly feel a pang of like hurt, of how much you miss them. You know, there may be anger, there may be, desperation, there may be all these very strong feelings, right? But as time passes, right, and as you talk about it, as you heal, as you move on and you deal with that emotional hurt, then years later, you can still think of the person, right? You can still see something or go somewhere and say, "Oh, I came here with my, ex that time." But what happens emotionally, it's not hitting you the way that it used to, right? It's not. And this serves, I think, as a nice little example, okay, of where we want to get to with all of our thoughts, right? And we want to be able to, through that process, I think a side effect or yeah, I guess a side effect of being able to do that is that we are then more free to choose thoughts that are more in line with how we want to think. Because it is also invariably true that the more a emotional impact a thought has over you, the less free you are to choose whether or not you want to hold on to that thought or let it go, right? And so as we are able to put a little distance between our thoughts and our emotions, okay, then we are able to choose more freely. And that is really, I think, the ultimate goal of what I believe for me is my practice, in my life, is being able to experience more and more freedom from the automatic knee-jerk kind of thinking, feeling patterns that can easily run my life if I'm not practicing, right? So we all grow up. We have experiences in our childhood. We learn certain lessons. We learn lessons from our experiences. We learn lessons from our parents or caregivers. We learn lessons as we're teenagers. We learn lessons through our relationships. And all of these lessons and teachings and experiences form this automatic kind of system of how we deal with life. So, we have thoughts, ways of interpreting situations, we have ways of responding, and these are all combinations of these thoughts, these feelings, and these behaviors. And this is kind of how we all, human beings, how brains operate, how we run our lives. So the practice, okay, that I believe in, and that for me, Zen practice has been instrumental in helping me, and I'm not there. I'm not there yet. It's a work in progress. But what it's helped me to do is it has helped me to look very, very carefully at the existing patterns that have run my life for years. And it's allowed me to break or disassociate from those patterns and choose new patterns. And what could be better than that, to have that kind of awareness? I truly believe, and if you're listening to this, you probably agree, that most people never have awareness of those patterns. They kind of just, it's a default mechanism. That's how they operate. And they go through their life repeating experiences, repeating certain things happening. They get stuck in a loop and things never change. And it has nothing really to do with the external reality. It has to do with those patterns that they're stuck in. So the practice of meditating for me, okay, and the, and to get even more specific, the Zen practice for me, again, has been about freeing myself, experiencing more and more freedom from those automatic knee-jerk ways of processing my moment-to-moment experience. It's about awakening to the possibilities that exist in every single moment, which are truly infinite, infinite potential. But we need to become aware of what has limited our ability to see those potentials in the past. And that's where we're, and I'm kind of going off a little on a tangent here, but my point is that nowhere in that process do we come to a point where we no longer think. Okay. That just is not realistic. What we are able to do, and one of my favorite, maybe you've heard this before, but one of my favorite metaphors for this process is, right, is that, and I think I've talked about it here before, if you've listened for a while, but we talk about, you know, as a metaphor, you look at the sky, right? So you see clouds and you see the blue sky behind them, as long as it's not raining, right? You see the blue sky, you see nice white clouds or dark clouds, whatever. So when you are still under a lot of influence over your thoughts, meaning that they're still eliciting very strong emotions from you, okay, you're not free from them, then it's akin to the blue sky being obsessed with the clouds that are rolling by, right? Oh, this cloud is so beautiful. I wish this cloud would just stay here. I don't want this cloud to ever leave. I love this cloud. Please don't leave me, cloud. And on the end of the spectrum, you have a dark cloud, a rainy cloud. Oh, this cloud is horrible. I hate this cloud. Oh, why is this cloud here? This cloud is ruining my whole day. I got to get this cloud out of here. And it's reacting to every cloud that comes by. Where as you develop in the practice, you realize that none of those clouds are really who you are, right? Those clouds are just floating by. That's all they're doing. It's just floating by. And you can't stop them. They're just coming. They're just coming. And some are beautiful. Some are nasty. Some are scary. Some are anxiety provoking. Some are, you know, but the sky does not obsess about the clouds. Why? Because it realizes that it is not those clouds, right? It is the sky. It is the space that allows those clouds to be there. So we don't want to stop the clouds. We just want to realize our true nature, right? And that is something that I think you've probably heard before. I've heard it before, you know, many, many teachings. We talk about that in meditation. We talk about that in mindfulness. We talk about that in Buddhism. We talk about that. Eckhart Tolle talks about that. But we have to use caution, like I said, when we started, in coming to this idea or this belief that at some point, the more developed I am, the less clouds will come by, right? Now, what I have experienced, okay, and I'm going to be real here with you, is that sometimes when I am really, 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 I hit certain states in my meditation practice where I'm very, very much connected to my sensory awareness, meaning I am very aware of all the sounds I'm hearing, of all the things that I may be looking at, of sensations on my skin, of things that I may be smelling. And I'm so focused on those that there's not much room for thoughts about yesterday or tomorrow or conversations, or like I mentioned earlier, thoughts about anything arise all that much. But that doesn't mean that they stop. they don't just cease to exist, right? I have those moments where I feel very, very awake, very, very centered. But after a little while, thoughts start rolling back in. And again, that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. And I could be, in some instances, in that state, and thoughts appear, right? But what's amazing is that I'm just not, the thought almost has zero bearing on my stability at that moment, how anchored I feel in the present moment. And this is why, to me, as to many of you, it probably sounds like a broken record, meditation is everything. It has allowed me to just, when you sit, and I do it, you know, kind of the way that it's taught in the Zen school, where I'm on a cushion, I'm on the floor. Yes, I have my legs crossed. Okay, I'm just sitting, and I hold very, very still, as I've described to you all many times. Sit very, very, very still. Don't move a muscle. And what that's doing for me is it's anchoring me in that moment. It just anchors me. I don't move. I don't budge. And what happens is that as I'm just anchored in the physicality of my body, the thoughts just have less room to really pull me this way, that way, you know, get me to get emotional, get me to get reactive. It just doesn't happen as much. And like I said, it's a work in progress. There are still days where I know that my thinking is a little bit, you know, crazy. It's a little bit obsessive. It's still kind of, you know, I can still get into that mode. But interestingly, what I have found over doing this now, like 20 years, is that those moments don't last that long, number one. And number two is that in spite of all that mental noise, there is still this, I quite don't know how to describe it. It's almost like in the background, there's still this feeling of, wow, my mind is really noisy, but I am still anchored. Like I know it's temporary, so to speak. Doesn't mean it's not uncomfortable. It's still uncomfortable. I still recognize, wow, this is uncomfortable for me right now. I'm not enjoying what my mind is doing, but I can't explain it any other way. That you just know that it's just for a little bit, and it's going to go away. It's going to pass. It's not taking you over, so to speak, which Eckhart Tolle also talks about. So I wanted just to put this out there and just let you know that if you're struggling with your thinking, your thoughts, and you're trying to get rid of them, or you're trying to make them stop, don't do that. Don't do that. I would recommend getting a good meditation practice that you like, sticking to it. Okay, I have plenty of episodes here on the podcast where I talk about my meditation practice, including I think a few like step by step ones. If you're looking for a step-by-step guidance, just email me. Just email me. I'll be happy to write it down for you step by step by step if you have trouble finding the episode. But that to me has been the method to get to that point where I don't feel the need to have to stop my thoughts. That's really ideal. It's irony. It's an ironic thing. It's that by not fighting them and just allowing them to come, you do get to a point where you are just not as affected by them anymore, right? So I hope that this information came across clear, that you found it helpful. I will be back on Tuesday with the next installment of Tuesday Taoism. So I really want to thank you for listening as usual, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.